attempted to become something.
Romania.
And do you remember the town, the name of it?
Yes, the IASI.
And how about how large a community was it?
That I couldn't tell you.
Was it part of a larger town? Was it an all Jewish area, or was it just a regular community with both Jews and Gentiles? Would you call it a village or a town?
No, it's a town. It was the second largest town in Romania.
Oh, so it was actually a city?
Yeah, sure.
Well, then it must have been over 100,000.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
But it was actually
more than likely it was.
Second largest city.
Sure, Bucharest would be.
I see. Do you remember the house you lived in, the type of house?
Yes, we had a house, and we lived in the rear, and in front we had a shop, a carpenter shop.
Is that what your father did? He was a carpenter. Did you have brothers and sisters?
No.
You were the only child? How many years did you live in this community?
Well, until I was 13 years old.
13 years, and then is that when you came to the United States?
That's right. I came here in 1902.
Did you come directly to Pittsburgh?
That's right.
Your father was a carpenter. Did you do any work at all in Europe, or you just went to school?
I just went to school, right.
What languages were spoken in your home?
In the home, Jewish.
Yes, just Jewish. Also Romanian, though?
Well, we had to. We spoke Romanian. How did you read?
Jewish in the house.
Yeah.
But Romanian out in the community. Did they speak any other languages in this town?
No. Maybe some special ones or something. I'm not worth learning.
Mm-hmm. And what type of schooling did you have?
Well, I had what they call it first. I went to the regular public school, which no Jews could enter.
Why were you able to go?
My father was very popular. He made furniture to order. And he knew the mayor and all the big officials had made all the furniture. That's why I was able to go in.
Oh, that's wonderful. How many years did you go?
Well, I went quite a few years, but later on, I changed to what you would call it a parochial school.
Oh, you went to like the
they taught Jewish and English and German and so forth.
You first went though to the public school and then later went to the parochial school.
That's right.
And did you go to school until you came to the United States?
I was graduated at that time.
Oh, you had actually graduated from the parochial
school? Yeah, well, we called it parochial school here, you know.
Yeah. Was it like a yeshiva, or was it more or less just a cheder?
It's a school.
Yeah.
I mean, in school they taught you Romanian and they taught you the Jewish.
Not
and
just
that.
From the Bible and
no,
the
no,
Torah.
No.
What was your synagogue like?
Well, like they are here on the small scale.
Was it Orthodox?
Oh, yeah.
And did men or women sit separate?
Yeah.
It was really Orthodox. Was it a fairly large congregation since this was a fairly large town?
No.
Was it a separate building of its own with their own rabbi?
Oh, yeah.
What were the relations with the non-Jewish people in the town?
Good.
Good. There were no problems. I mean, you don't recall anti-Semitism.
No, but only one time there was a group of anti-Semites started something. That was a certain section of the town way out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of upstairs and things like that. Well, yeah, sort of guys that live there. And they declare that they're going to cause a demonstration there. So they said, oh, hey, go to police. officer. They came to the police to get protection out of the rioters.
Oh, I see.
Came to the police to get protection. They knew what kind of guys they were living with. So they were ready for them. On every house, there was a kettle or two of hot water. And every man had his pockets filled with pepper. The pepper.
You mean like pepper corn?
Well, when they came along, they were waiting for them. As soon as they came along, they poured the hot water on them and they threw the pepper around their eyes.
And that was the end of it.
That was the end of the
whole riot. That was the end. They actually finished the whole thing off.
Several of them were taken to the hospital.
Couldn't have happened to more deserving people.
Well,
did your father belong to any political organization?
No, there was no.
Well, I meant like, was he a Zionist? Or did he belong to the Bullings or the Socialists or anything like that?
No Socialists.
Nothing like that.
He probably belonged to a Jewish organization, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What was the relationship of the Romanian government to the Jews?
Well, at that time, it was all right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
at that time?
At that time. During the time I lived there.
What did you think of America at that time?
Well, I didn't know what to think of it at all. I was too young.
Well, I mean, did you have any... when you came at 13, so I wonder what you anticipated would be fun when you came.
Well, I was trying like any other city, a large city, and of course I felt I would be a stranger, and not be able to speak the language, and I entered school.
Well, did your family come, or did you come by
My father came first.
Oh.
He was here for 15 months,
mm-hmm.
and he sent that for us.
Oh, I see. What made him decide to come to
America? Well, the main reason was myself. He knew when I'd get to be around 20 or so, I'd leave the country
mm-hmm.
on the comic serving the army.
Yeah.
And everybody did that. Mostly young men when they were 20 or around 20.
We got one reason why so many left.
That was the main reason.
They didn't want to serve in the army. Why didn't they want to serve?
Because it was a terrible thing to serve there in the army. So there in Romania and Russia. They beat them for nothing.
Uh-huh.
And they did everything.
Was that only to the Jews or to just anybody? I mean, or did they really pick on the Jews in particular when they are?
Well, I don't know.
But it was just a horrible thought for anybody who has to know. Did you have a definite destination? Had your father already come to Pittsburgh?
No, he came to New York.
First, he came to New York.
He came to New York. He had nieces and nephews living there, his sister's children, and he stayed with them for a while. And they got a job and they paid him $6 a week.
Mm-hmm.
He could get very far. He was an expert at Kevin, an expert. He one time got a job, in order to get out of the army, he got a job in Russia. And they call it the Ustilisty there. It's a place where they teach boys like we have in the vocational school. What do you call them?
Vocational school, yeah. And he actually taught.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he made good money. And he was there for several years.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came back, he got a hold of an old passport by some other name, which he used when he came back. And he came back like this. They all knew.
How long did he stay in New York?
In New York, it was about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
When he saw he couldn't make a living there,
yeah.
He saw a notice on the newspaper on the women that they want something like 100 first-class cabinet makers and a streetcar company job. Because those days, you probably don't remember, they used to have wooden streetcars.
Oh, I remember the interurban trolley, but they fancy interiors.
They have wooden streetcars.
Yeah, I remember.
and they manufacture them in New York, Ohio.
Oh, so he went there?
So they paid their transportation to come there if they are mechanics. Mm-hmm. As I said before, he was an expert, really an expert mechanic. And they went there, got a job. They put him alongside some other fellow that came in that same day, same morning. And they said, here, you do this and you do that and so on. 2 hours later, the foreman came back. Terrible work from there. A child going to school would do better than that. And he asked, who done that? So this father told him, he could speak English, he's an Irishman. My father naturally couldn't speak any English, and he told him he done it. So they gave him a job that they give an amateur to, sandpaper molding. Their fingers, skin would take them off their fingers by using it. So he did that from 10 to 12, noon. When noontime came, he figured that's no business for him. He got up and he walked around the shop. It was a tremendous place. You might know the manufacturing
street. Yeah, right.
So he heard a man speak German. He knew he spoke, wrote, spoke German fluently, my father did. So he asked him to excuse him and he told him the story of what happened. And the man said, well, here, you stay here and you work for me. I said, I want a separate job. I want to work for myself. Mm-hmm. And that piece worked for me. I want to work for himself. The man took him on. And by the afternoon, the other place,
they realized
that the man wasn't there and that all the bad work was done by this fellow. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they left him out right away and he come looking for him. And he found him in the shop there. He asked him to come back, and if he was not going back there. He told him, not that I have anything against you, but I just can't speak your language. We can't get along. The man can tell anything about me. Here I'm working on myself. And he saw the work he was doing. He saw the work he was doing there, and he insisted. Had quite a talk with him. On the foreman, he said, man, that's what they let him go now. He won't be staying. So he stayed there for a year.
Mm-hmm. In Ohio, that was in
Ohio.
Yeah.
And he made the amount of money that at that time was a fortune. He made $85 a week.
Oh, that was good money.
Because they were working on the piece work.
I see. He was so work hard.
Oh, yeah, sure. And the more we did, the more we could get more money. So we were there for a year.
Is that where you went first? Or no? Then he came to Pittsburgh.
Here's how that happened. When he got word that we were coming, he sent for us. We were arriving at Ellis Island on Thursday.
Yeah.
He told the foreman he'd have to leave to go and meet his wife and son.
Mm-hmm.
They told him, you don't have to go. We'll telephone to Ellis Island. And they're leaving. We'll have them send a guard on our expense to bring them. They have no trouble to bring them right to the door wherever you want them. You don't want to. He meant to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a town and there was nothing kosher there.
Right.
There were no Jews there. They lived the best they could, he and his other man. And my mother wouldn't stay there a day. There was no kosher meat, no kosher anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that. So he told him, explained him. And finally they gave him, when he saw they couldn't stop him, he took his tools and all, so they gave him a letter. The letter was addressed to themselves, stating that if this man ever comes in here, regardless whether you need any men or not, you give him a job. Okay, don't let him out.
So then
I saw that letter.
Did he come to Pittsburgh then?
Then after that, then he came and picked us up.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he came to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
We came into Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And so we located here.
I see. Did you come with a group from Europe, or did you travel by yourself?
Oh, no, hundreds of people.
But I mean, were you part of a particular group? Were you just on your own? How did you travel from your town to the port? Did you go by train?
Train.
And then, do you remember the kind of ship you remember what port you sailed from?
And Amsterdam.
To Amsterdam. And then from Amsterdam, what type of boat were you on? Do you know much about it?
Passenger boat, that's all I know. I tell you, that's all I know.
Was it one of those, were you all crowded together and did you travel third class?
I couldn't tell
you. Don't recall any of that. Well, that's good. You can't remember. Did your father meet you in New York?
No, he met us here
in Pittsburgh. Did anybody meet you at Ellis Island?
No, we didn't meet. They put us right on the train.
The officials?
The officials that put us right. There were all those cages in Ellis Island, like in a prison.
Yeah.
And if you went to Pittsburgh, you went to this cage, and if you went to so and so, you went to this cage. See?
Yeah, it's the first time somebody has told me this, and I have. The thing, I've done all these interviews, I never could figure out how did they get from Ellis Island to the train? They would then take you in a group.
They could put you, if you were going to Pittsburgh, they'd put you in this cage. If you were going to, I don't know, something called Cleveland,
yeah,
they have another cage.
I see.
And they were all marked, the trains came in, and you walked a piece to get to the train.
Oh, I see. You walked from that
Ellis
port,
Island.
Yeah, right to the train station. Yeah. Now I found myself do you remember any objects or papers that your mother brought with her, any mementos of yours that she brought to you when you still have?
For instance?
Pictures, papers of any particular
kind. We have the passport sometimes.
But did she bring, any, like, any physical things that...
she did, they were... They were lost during the years.
No.
I don't have
any. You don't remember any of those things? I mean, did she bring picture albums and things like that?
Oh, she had that. I know an album of the family.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Personal things, yeah. That isn't a matter.
And she had some jewelry, mm-hmm. which I don't remember what became of it. My grandfather was a goldsmith, they called him. And he made her pins with her name on it.
Uh-huh.
He made me, I have cup rings, I remember those, I don't know what
you don't have any of those left to share.
No.
Is your name the same as it was in your...
Absolutely. The only thing that's changed was the, my name is R-U-B-E-N, A-A-B-I-N. I don't know if that's the way you ask.
Yes.
Now, when I came here, my name is R-U-B-I-N.
So
when I entered school, the principal, says, no, that don't sound good. We'll make it E-N. And the principal changed that one letter.
Other than that, though, but the name was
the same.
What first impressed you in the United States?
Kid, I wasn't impressed much. I didn't see much. Mm-hmm. I came here, and after I was here a few days, a neighbor of boy took me to school,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
About the United States in particular that kind of remained in your mind, that first impression of this country?
The fog.
You
couldn't see it.
Was that in New York or
Pittsburgh? No, right here in the Pennsylvania
station. Was that the first?
We asked my father, what is this? What's the matter here? He said, well, we have quite a bit of rock.
You never had that in Europe.
Oh, no. You know, don't forget I was in 1902.
Yeah. Oh, that smoke.
Oh, terrible.
So actually then the dirt must have been something
too. Well, it's 100% better than it was then.
But that must have been rather a shock then, all that
dirt.
Oh,
yeah, sure. Couldn't hardly see.
And it was a constant thing? It was not just location?
Well,
the dirt
was pretty regular.
Yeah. Do you remember your very first day in Pittsburgh?
Well, we went up to, my father took us up to a, he had an apartment. When he came here, he worked for Kelston. You remember Kelston Bath? Had a bathhouse on it?
Yes.
They built up where the bathhouse was on Franklin Street.
Yeah.
They called it a 50 layer. There was a big apartment there.
I see.
And my father helped to build that apartment when he came from Newark to Pittsburgh.
That was his first
job here.
Yeah.
And naturally, he got the preference that we got an apartment there.
Mm-hmm. So that's where you went first from the train station, right to the apartment.
That's right.
What else did you do there first day?
Well, I set it aside at all. I scored it up to crop size.
Was it because of the size or the noise? Or just the idea of different?
It's different altogether. I was within a block from the school I went to, Franklin School.
Oh, you went to Franklin?
Yeah.
I
had a start in the first grade. They called it number one. I started number one, and when I came in the same time with, maybe you know the Dr. Goldman, the I Man.
Oh, I know who you mean.
Well,
I don't know.
His father and I came here at the same time. And we both entered school at the same time. So they put us in class number one. They used to go by numbers.
Yeah.
And we could speak a word of English, and they showed me, if you remember, up on top of the blackboard, it used to be the alphabet written.
Yeah.
And the numbers. So she gave us a sheet of paper and said, write that. Well, what did that mean to us? You know, I wrote a second and came back. She gave us a couple of columns of figures.
Mm-hmm.
Total up to 50 ways, some to total, some to divide, and so on. And we did that in a couple of days, in a couple of minutes, both of them. So when lunchtime came, she took us in the office and she said, she can't use us. We love her.
Oh, I can imagine.
Number one. So she says, well, you'll try number four. Jumped us into number four. We were fortunate enough to have a teacher that spoke German. And we were there for a few months. She was kind enough. She asked us if we would want to spend some extra time after school,
yeah,
where she'd give us personal attention. And of course, we were glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So we spent there about 3-4 months, and we picked up a little bit of the language. She spoke German, you know.
Oh, I
see. She would explain it. I'll never forget, one time she wanted to explain what run meant. We didn't understand it. We were traveling together, both of us. She looked out in the hall, there was kids there. She called one over and she says, you shall want to show this man, this boy, what it means to run. She told her to run. She ran across. So, of course.
Then that's how you learn that word.
That's how you learn words.
Well, now, and that was actually technically the fourth grade. But she more or less tutored.
No, I don't know what it was. But number
she
one,
almost tutored.
No, it couldn't be the fourth grade. It ran in numbers. It ran up to 23.
Oh, I
uh-huh.
But was it more or less like personal tutoring being so much a part of the class?
Well, that she did the tutoring,
mm-hmm,
first. We didn't have all we did at home was study together.
Mm-hmm.
We studied, we read books, all kinds of books and newspapers, mm-hmm, everything to learn to speak the language. See?
Yeah. Once you learned to speak, did you continue in school?
What?
No,
2 years.
Went 2 years.
Yeah. And as I told you, I got a job.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll get to that in a few minutes. I don't want to lose.
Go ahead.
Was there anything about life in the United States that disappointed you during the first 5 years?
About what?
Life. Did you
no,
find the United
I did,
States
no.
at all disappointing?
No. I didn't realize
was
that.
Was there much that disappointed your parents?
No.
They were
the only thing is that my father had to work.
Yeah.
Himself physically.
Yeah.
Where in the old country he didn't have to do that. He had a shop of 10 men.
I see.
Going year round.
He
had to supervise and look out after business and so forth. So he kind of felt a little bit funny. And he got along so well, but when he came here and had to do all that heavy work, hard work, he had a little bit of, he was a little bit asthmatic. And I could foresee what was happening. And that's why I went to work.
Oh, I see. Was there any point during the first 5 years when you felt unjustly treated because you were an immigrant?
Not in that way. I felt funny working for $3 a week to start with, which even at that time wasn't no money. And I worked for that for 1 year and I got raised to $4.
Well, let's see, wait. First, you earned $3 a week.
Yeah.
And where did you work?
I worked for M. Oppenheimer and Company. No time for
M.
Oppenheimer. Yeah. Oppenheimer.
And what did they do? What type?
They were wholesale clothing.
Oh. And what did you do to them?
Well, first I was running errands and being a stock boy and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And after I worked there about a year, the boss on that floor that was running that floor quit.
Yeah.
And he went down and he had two boys, two Gentiles, working, which were rough boys to handle. He had trouble handling them. And he went down to the office and he told the firm he was going to leave. So the firm asked him, now who do you think we can leave in charge of that floor? It's a big job. Gotta fill all the orders every day, maybe 100 orders or more, and required some work. So the boss asked if we thought it was, that they could leave in charge. She told him that that boy, that greenhorn, he says, what? How about those other boys? They were older than me, considerable. She says, no, they're no good. Of course, he'll have trouble with him, I can tell you that. I have trouble with him. And I'm a man, and he's a kid, and he's younger than they are, he'll tell them. So, they took his word for it, they knew who what it was, and I
called down. I called down the
office and told that I have the job of seeing that these orders get picked up and taken out and shipped and so forth. And I'd get $2 a week more. Oh boy, that was that was $6 a week already. And I worked then as he thought. I couldn't get along with those boys. They wouldn't do anything for me. So they hired two colored boys instead. In fact, one of them was an elevator boy. They wanted to promote him. So they gave him a job in a stock board. And they were told that they have to listen to me, whatever I tell them to do, and so on and so on. Well, I worked on that stock floor, and later on they moved me to a stock floor where they had clothing. This was pants, work pants. And that was to learn the clothing business. At any rate, I was working inside for 5 years.
Within the same, so you stayed at this often. When you went to work for them, did you ever get any training? How did you happen to end up at Oppenheimer? I mean, since that was your first job.
A friend of mine was working there in a different floor, and they needed a boy. So he recommended me, and they took me in.
But so you really had no training eventually?
No. I had training under that man that I worked with for a year, see? I worked for him like a dog, you know, and he that's why he recommended me to get that job.
What were your hours?
Oh, don't mention.
Why they went?
7:15 to 6 o'clock.
7:15
a.m.
Yeah.
To 6 p.m.
And they complained today.
20 minutes for lunch.
Did you work Saturdays and Jewish holidays?
I worked Saturdays, but not the Jewish holiday. They were Reformed Jews, the firm, so I started to tell you that after 5 years, I was put on the road.
Oh!
I learned to speak English pretty fair, not too good.
You speak very well. You don't have an accent at all.
No, I tried not to.
Yeah. But, I mean, there is none.
So, got a job working around town, carrying two sample cases, and trying to sell. And finally, after doing that for a while, they bought me a car. I was the first salesman out of Pittsburgh to work for the car.
Oh, really? Yeah. Instead of taking the train or the bus?
So then I increased my territory.
But you always worked for Oppenheimer?
I told the job I had.
You never worked for any other company?
No, I worked there for 17 years. See? and I made big, big money. Do you want to know that?
No, I'm only interested in the first 5 years that you were in this country. Did you belong to any trade union working for them? All right, I'll just check if I've got any.